I'm on. Good morning. I'm so excited to get to be with you all this morning and share with you. And you may have wondered when you came into the sanctuary and you went to find your seat and there were some coloring sheets and crayons hanging around. Those are actually for anyone that maybe you're a doodler or it's relaxing to color. Our kids actually have little activity boxes that they use, but today the adults are invited to color too. So if you want to share with a neighbor, I kind of scattered it throughout the sanctuary, so feel free if you need to move around and grab something. Do you want some? Right here. I gotcha. So just look around and feel free to color while I'm talking, or maybe a little bit later. So I want to start off today by telling you a little story about me growing up. And for those of you that don't know me, I actually grew up in a town, in a state that starts with an O, that is not Ohio, and that is Oklahoma. And I went to Oklahoma State University, so that is my OSU. But one of the things that is just a part of growing up in Oklahoma is that you are living in the heart of Tornado Alley. And so from a young child, I was instructed many times by my parents, by teachers, by the weathermen, what we were to do in case of a tornado warning and where to seek the safest shelter. And you all are probably familiar with this, living in Ohio, because there some tornadoes come through every once in a while. But you are to try and be underground, in a basement, in a cellar. And if you don't have a place to go underground, then you're going into an internal room that doesn't have windows, and definitely don't want to be in a mobile home or outside if you can at all help it. So one particular time in the fifth grade, I had been through many different tornado watches and warnings, but this particular day was different. There was just something in the air that was electric. And then you got that green sky that came. And sure enough, our parents said, we've got to go grab, you know, your favorite toy and head to the basement. We called the neighbors because they didn't have a good place to go. And we all sheltered down in our basement. And I remember particularly the kids, we actually huddled under our pool table for extra protection. And just like I had heard would happen, that sound of the roaring train came through and things were crashing and banging outside. And it was very scary, but I had a sense that I was okay because we were sheltered in the right place and that we were going to be safe. And we were, and my dad had, you know, the little AM, FM radio, was listening. And so when we got the all clear and when we couldn't hear anything crazy going on outside, we emerged from the basement to assess the damage. And we had had a huge tree in our backyard that fell over onto the house, but thankfully it just smashed our back porch and did not hit our house. But unfortunately, there were others that were not so fortunate and they lost their homes. There was an entire elementary school that was just demolished. So it was a very significant time for me. It kind of felt like I was actually living inside of a movie. And I'll never forget that. And I have many other stories like that where we've sheltered, but that one's probably the most significant. And so recently, when we were sitting down in a staff meeting, we meet down in the lower chapel, and Bill's already laughing, but the tornado sirens go off. And when that happens, my body is going into go mode, like, I need to shelter, I need to be safe. And Bill seemed very unfazed by this and just carried on with the meeting. And I'm trying to calm myself. And they were tracking. Granted, we were in the basement. Everything was fine. But just I have that fight or flight thing going on in me. And Bill even was like, are you okay? I'm like, I think I'm just a little triggered right now from the tornado warning. But the point being is that we found a very safe and secure place to shelter. And that's what we're going to be talking about today as we move back into the Psalms, where we're talking about real people living real life with a real God. And that was one of my real experiences. And in Psalm 46, it talks about the safest place for us to find shelter. So let's dig in. And you're welcome to open up in a Bible in front of you or just read along with me on the screen. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. So in that first line, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When it says very present help in trouble, not only do we have the sense he's always with us, but in the Hebrew, there's also this sense that he's a well-proven help. So those that would sing this song within the Hebrew culture, they would be remembering God's been a proven help to us through all the stories, through the covenant to Abraham and through the covenant to Moses and bringing the people out of Egypt. God has been a well-proven help in times of trouble. And then we've got this really important hinge word, therefore. So when we choose to shelter ourselves in the safe refuge of God, we don't have to fear. And I know that that's so much easier said than done, and it's easy to read that and go, well, that sounds really good, and I wish I could believe that. But the psalmists are wanting to remind and have the people sing this over and over to remember God has been faithful through the ages. He's been a present help, a proven help in times of trouble. And they're not emphasizing that the trouble won't come, but they're emphasizing that we have a safe place to go in the midst of the chaos, even when all of creation is crumbling. We have a safe refuge to find shelter. So I wonder if we look at another word in this first little section where it says, therefore we will not fear though. And I wonder if you could complete that sentence in your own life. What is your though? I want to shelter in this present help, even though my marriage is falling apart, even though I don't know what the future looks like. I lost my job. I'm going through a breakup. I don't have funds that I need, and my car is broken. Whatever it is that we're facing, what is the though in your life? And we'll come back to that. And before we move into this next stanza, I just want to make a note about that word at the end of this first stanza, Selah. And there's a lot of debate about exactly what that means because we don't know specifically. But this was written as a song, and so many people believe it's a musical notation, some kind of pause or musical interlude. But this is a wonderful reminder, I know for me, when I'm reading through to stop, to pause, to reflect. I know I can tend to just kind of barrel my way through things, including when I'm reading scripture. And it's a great reminder, even as they would be singing, to stop and reflect on what was just said, or as I'm reading, to pause. Where is God in the midst of this scripture? How is he speaking to me here? So let's go into this next stanza. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. So again here, we have a picture of chaos that's happening in the nations, and it's being contrasted with the city of God, where God dwells. And in that place, there's a river, and there's joy, and there's stability. And you'll notice, obviously, in any kind of poetry or good songs, you're going to see repetitions and themes that are happening. And a theme that is rising up is that there's a metaphor of God being a fortress, a safe shelter. And last week, if you were here, Bill was preaching about Psalm 23, and the psalmist used the metaphor of God being a shepherd. And so today we're going to focus in on what it means for God to be that refuge and fortress, the ever-present power that we are invited to run into. So both of these metaphors, the shepherd and the fortress, are something that would be so familiar to the people that were reading this in the ancient Near East. Because in that time, in order for a city to be protected, they would build walls around it. So if you've ever seen pictures of Jerusalem or been there or studied, you know that there's walls all around the city. And there's actually different times in history where they would expand the walls because they needed to be secure and in a high place, and they would actually use the natural geography of the land to be already stationed in a high place and then to put walls up. That was their security. And some scholars will say about this psalm that it maybe was written during the time of King Hezekiah when the king of Assyria was wiping out nations and he was coming for Israel and Judah. And so Hezekiah was doing all that he could to fortify the city and build walls. And it's interesting because there's that reference to the river of God coming through. And one thing that Hezekiah did is that he actually took a spring, Gihon Spring, that is outside of Israel, and diverted it through this amazing architectural feat called Hezekiah's Tunnel. If you go to Israel, you can go through it. I had my most claustrophobic experience ever going through it, but it's pretty cool. And so he brought water into the city because they needed to be sheltered within the walls and they needed to have a long-term supply of water that would sustain them even with the forces that were coming against them. So if you're interested in learning about that, it's in Isaiah 36 and 37, but that's all I'm going to say about it. But it's a pretty interesting thing to look at. But it wasn't Israel's high walls or even the spring that came through. That was their protection and their greatest defense. And that's what the psalmist is really wanting to teach us here. And I just wonder, in your own life, and I've been asking myself this same question, what have you been depending on for your protection and your defense? And as I was thinking about that one day when I was running, I like to run, and for some reason for me, because I've got a lot of energy for me to run, that's the time that I'm actually able to still internally and hear the Lord and talk to the Lord. And so I'm running, and I felt like God was saying, Shauna, every place that you look to outside of me for shelter and protection has a limited supply. When you choose to shelter in me, you have an unlimited supply of love, of my presence, of my power. I have access. So why are you choosing to shelter or try and find protection or build up walls of protection in ways that really aren't helping you out very much? That was kind of like a sting, right? But it was a good one. It was a good reminder that I am invited to shelter in the Lord where I have an unlimited supply of what I need, of his presence, of his love, that if I'm able to still myself and listen, he can give me the direction or the insight that I need. But I'm often busy trying to put up walls of protection, isolating myself, or trying to build high towers of look at my achievement that show my worth, and God just saying, no, come in here. I've got what you need. So I don't know if you can relate with that or not, but I know I've spent a lot of time and energy trying to control my own chaos and give myself some sense of stability, and I end up wanting and weary. And so I pray today that you hear God's invitation, inviting you to shelter with him, where there's an unlimited supply of what you need. Let's go on to this third stanza. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So again, we hear that repetition and that reminder, the God of Jacob, the one who's been faithful through it all, he's our refuge, he's our protection. And so in this stanza, it starts out with a directive to come and behold. And as I was studying this, this word behold was standing out to me, and I was looking into it a little bit, and the Hebrew has this sense of being able to see not just in the physical, but in the spiritual, not just in the natural, but kind of in a prophetic kind of spiritual insight that allows you to understand beyond the physical manifestations to what God is doing to bring order to the chaos. And here, there's a lot of military language coming up where you can see God's breaking the power of the nations who are warring and saying, you don't have the power and control, I do. And of course, this very well-known line, which is amazing because I realized, you know, we have the psalmist talking, and then all of a sudden, the voice of God breaks in through the chaos of the military warring, and he says, be still and know that I am God. In essence, drop your weapons. Stop trying to play God. I'm the one who has the world in my hands. I'm the one that can bring order and protection and flourishing. It's kind of like a God mic drop is what I was thinking when I was reading it. Shh, be still. Quiet all the raging, all the fighting, all the chaos. I'm here. One thing that this reminded me of in sharp contrast to sheltering in God is a leader that we hear about in the Bible, and he does not have a good reputation because he was a really terrible man. But he's a good example of someone who goes to the extremes in order to protect themselves. And his name is Herod the Great. And one thing I've learned about him is that he actually built fortresses every 5 to 10 miles around the country so that if at any time someone was pursuing him, he could quickly get into a fortress and find refuge. And he had a lot of enemies, not just other nations, but people within the country. He killed his own brother-in-law. He killed his own wife. He killed his own sons. He was a ruthless man who was paranoid that people were going to take his power, and so he did whatever he could to try and shelter himself. And he died a pretty miserable person. And one thing that I was amazed by is that he actually ordered his servants that when he died, that they would massacre a bunch of people in Jerusalem so that there would be some kind of mourning when he died, because he knew that no one would mourn his death. So that's the very extreme example of what it looks like when you think you can be God, which he literally thought that, and that he could be in control and that he could protect himself and it made him a very paranoid person, and it's a very, very sad story. But in contrast, here he was with these people following the God of Jacob, who is saying, I'm your shelter, I'm the one that brings security, and it's my presence that brings security, not your weapons, not your fortresses. It's my presence. So I just wanted to share my own experience of seeking shelter in the Lord. And so I know that this psalm is really talking about the chaos in creation and the chaos in the nations. But if we bring it back into our own lives, because we're talking about us as real people living real life with a real God, I can tell you that there are times when I have chosen to try and do my own self-protection. And I have been striving and performing and trying to prove. And there are times when I've chosen to shelter. And in the times that I choose to shelter, then I am able to hear the Lord's voice saying, be still and know, I'm God. I have you. I have the situation. Doesn't mean that the bad things aren't going to come, but you have a safe place to go. You have a refuge to run to. And that has helped me to learn to cultivate a place of inner stillness. And I love that song that Sarah sang just before we moved into this time, in the silence of the heart you speak, and that he comes into our chaos. And sometimes in my life, I haven't been willing to slow down or even have ears to hear that he was trying to speak into that and bring stillness and invite me into his refuge. And so I pray today that if you find yourself in a place of chaos or even of just trying to make things work for yourself in your own strength, that you would be hearing God's invitation to you to come and shelter with him, to come into the place of unlimited supply, of his love, of his grace, of his power. That it's having God in our midst. We're the temples of the Holy Spirit as Christians. That when we can acknowledge that, that is what brings us stability. His presence is what creates our security. And so really, this is a very simple but so important and so true message that I'm wanting to bring to us today. And I want to spend some time for us to just be able to reflect on that and to get still and to let the Lord speak to us in a few moments. So I'm going to have Jody come up and she's going to start playing. And I want to just spend a little bit of time in prayer. But before we do, I don't know if while you were reading this or I was reading it and you heard those words, be still and know that I'm God. I wonder if that story of Jesus and the disciples in the boat, when there's a huge storm and the disciples are so afraid, and what is Jesus doing? He's sleeping. And they wake him up. Why are you sleeping? How can you be sleeping? Don't you see we're about to die? And Jesus just speaks to the storm. He calms the storm. Peace, be still. And so as we move into this time of prayer, my prayer is that as we settle ourselves and as we slow down and we listen and maybe even dare take the risk to shelter in the Lord, that we could hear him saying, peace, be still, to whatever chaos is circling externally or internally. Let's pray together. So Jesus, I thank you that you are the calmer of the storm. And I thank you, God, that you are the safest place for us to shelter. that it is your presence that brings us security. And so right now, as we pray, we just want to acknowledge your presence. We want to welcome you, Holy Spirit. And we ask that you would anoint our senses in a way to be aware of you in a fresh way right now in this moment. Could we confess our chaos to you and hear you speaking, "Peace, be still"? So just invite you to stay in that place of prayer.